Hello and welcome to Saver, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about the foods of the Star Wars universe.
Another fictional food.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. April was the last time? April or May?
Oh gosh, I don't know what month it is anymore, so.
Well, now my brain is blank. It's August. It's August. And the last one we did was Game of Thrones. And at the time we were debating Star Wars because it was May the 4th.
Right.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah, but we were like, Star Wars is eternal.
Yes, it will never die.
The Game of Thrones premiere end is upon us. So we made a choice.
We did.
But now we're making this other choice.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And we made this choice for a couple reasons.
Uh-huh.
One, the Star Wars themed part of Hollywood Studios in Orlando, Galaxy's Edge, just opened. It's already open in Anaheim, Disneyland, but the Orlando one is about to, may have just opened, depending on
When you're listening to this. We cannot control that. That's
no,
all you.
That is up to you. And we were just there-ish.
We were in Orlando.
Adjacent
to it. We were so near it.
We were very close.
We did not go to there.
No, but I could see it on the skyline.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, so exciting.
It is.
And furthermore, this weekend probably... If you listen to this when this episode comes out, there is a very decent chance that Annie is going to be at Dragon Con.
Yes.
Along with, what is it, like 30,000 other nerds?
Oh, it's 80,000.
Jeez, I'm old, and that's a lot of people.
It's 80,000.
Heck me. Okay, that's
fine. But that's over 4 days.
Sure, okay. 30,000 at any given time, let's say.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, geez.
Which is like the height of nerddom.
This is a nerd convention. Yes, there are a lot of Star Wars costumes.
Yes.
There's an entire fleet of stormtroopers who come out every year
for the
parade.
501?
I believe.
Yeah.
I believe the 501st.
They close the parade, so they're a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the longest line at the convention, Starbucks. Only partly kidding. They do nerdy drinks every year, and I know there's a Chewbacca-themed one, and I was trying to remember because it's a pun. It's like Brewbacca or Chewy chocolate chip, and it's Chewbacca. It's Chewbacca based pun Star Wars drink.
Well, that's adorable.
Yes. And the new trailer just came out. We're kind of timely for once. I know. I don't know what to do with this.
I'm uncomfortable.
I do feel a little weird.
Okay. Well, let's just keep going.
Yes. Let's forge ahead. I am a big Star Wars fan. I was at my peak Star Wars fandom during high school and college.
Okay.
And I've dipped off a bit now. There's just so much. My brain, you know, there's only so much I can do.
Sure. And there's a lot of things to be a fan of. And
these
are we're in like the middle of a geek renaissance right now.
We are.
Yeah.
We are indeed. I'm actually going to be at this convention. I'm going to be interviewing people about that. So come and find me if you wish. My first fictional crush was Luke Skywalker.
Yeah?
He was my first crush, actually.
What?
I kissed the TV screen. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, my God. That is adorable.
I was in love.
Oh, wow. I wasn't that into it when I was a little kid. Like, my dad tried to get me to care about the movies when I was... And I was maybe like 6 to 9, mm-hmm. and I did not.
Yeah.
1,000% like did
not. Into
but,
it.
But then I came around when I was a teenager. I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is the actual best thing.
I had a similar thing where I really liked it when I was very young. But then when I got a little bit older, I didn't buy into the Force. I was very skeptical about the Force.
Okay.
And I just,
I
didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. You know, talking animals and Disney movies? Yes.
Sure.
Force?
Nah.
No.
Well, whatever system of logic young Annie was working off of, I respect it, even if I don't understand it.
I'm the same. I can't explain it, but that's how it was. All of this brings us to our question here at last.
Mm-hmm.
Fictional food, Star Wars edition. What is it?
Well, as with many stories, perhaps especially speculative fiction, the food in the Star Wars universe or universes. There's some stuff that's been canon and then not canon. Food and beverages in Star Wars help us relate to the characters. It humanizes them and gives actors something to do with their hands other than like flip switches.
Yeah.
When they're having conversations with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Star Wars stories are generally set during hard times. You know, these are war-torn times, and there's a lot of hard places that the characters visit as well. And so a lot of the food and drink portrayed help give us a sense of this struggle and the leanness of the times the characters are going through. There are some fancy things thrown in there for contrast, but it's a lot of sustenance food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And quick numbers rundown.
Oh.
Disney invested $4 billion in the franchise in 2012 when it bought Star Wars Lucasfilm. Combined box office of all the release movies, three originals, three prequels, two sequels.
As of yet,
yes. One more is on the way. And two standalones, Rogue One and Solo, is $9 billion.
What?
In 2018, the franchise was valued at $65 billion, making it the fifth highest grossing franchise of all time. Which is number one, you ask? Pokemon.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I think Hello Kitty is like second or third.
Wow.
Yeah. I was curious. I had to look.
Of course you did. Well, I'm impressed, Pokemon.
Yeah. Pokemon food. Different episode.
Berries, I guess. I'm not sure. Yeah.
But yeah, this universe is TV series, games, comics, books, toys, theme parks, Christmas specials.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it.
Me neither.
Oh, we need to fix
this. Okay, projects. All right, got it.
I know that it's Life Day, which is like Christmas for Wookiees like Chewbacca, and they hand out Life Day candy. And this sent me on a whole tangent, which I did want to bring up before we start talking about these things, about the fun of language in a science fantasy world.
Yeah.
Because I saw a panel on this from Star Wars authors at Dragon Con the first year I went.
Yeah.
How difficult it is to use words that would not technically exist, but then how do you describe foods in a way people can relate to? So candy, in theory, there shouldn't be candy.
Right.
Yeah, it would be a different thing.
Sure.
Probably.
Sure.
But sometimes it's just easier to say.
To just be like, heck, it's candy.
It's candy.
It's made of sugar or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what the digestive systems of all of these creatures are like.
Well, Wookiees in particular, their food is so spicy that most humans can't eat it without digestive problems. My nerddom is showing. Let's let's move on.
I love it.
We do have a lot of examples for you.
We do. But before we get into it, we're going to take one quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back first with a disclaimer.
Because,
who doesn't love a disclaimer? since the Star Wars universe is so sprawling, we're going to leave some stuff out.
Yeah, we're not going to just talk about every food item that has ever appeared in any Star Wars media ever for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
If you're looking for that,
it exists.
Write in, let us know. I mean, I don't know. If we get enough sponsors, I would do it.
I would do it. I did read through every article on Wikipedia. Everyone.
Oh, heck.
Yeah. But there are some of the bigger examples that we're going to specifically focus on today.
Sure. Hopefully, even if you don't have any idea what we're talking about, you're unfamiliar with Star Wars, you will still get a kick out of how these creators have created these sometimes very specific choices.
I like specific choices. It sounds like something I would hear about my acting. I made a very specific choice there. Okay, so I think the number one thing, at least for me, when I think of Star Wars food and or drink, is from A New Hope, the blue drink. The blue drink.
Oh, like at breakfast. Like,
yes.
they're having breakfast on oh my gosh.
Tatooine.
Well, I know it's Tatooine, Annie, but I'm trying to remember Luke's aunt and uncle's names. It's just not coming to me.
It's Lars and Burr, starts with a B.
Well, sure. It's so he's still in Kansas.
Yeah, he's still in Kansas.
AKA Tatooine, and having breakfast, and it's this very kind of like gruel kind of breakfast, and he has this blue milk.
Yes, I thought it was a smoothie. It they seem to be making it. Aunt Beru seems to be making it in like that smoothie thing. Mm-hmm. From the internet tells me it's bantha milk. Those are those big hairy horned elephant things, those creatures that the Tuscan Raiders ride.
Sure.
And apparently it is a big part of a, well, I don't know if it's a big part. It's a part of a balanced breakfast in this universe. It's reminiscent of the green thalassiren milk Luke angrily drinks in The Last Jedi. It's probably the most memorable scene in that entire movie.
Very strangely, yeah. I was again. I was like, choice. Okay,
very specific.
This is a specific choice.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the cantina.
Again, yes, yes. The infamous cantina on Tatooine. Yes.
Yes. Also in A New Hope, aka Episode 4,
the first film that came out.
Yes. Not confusing at all. I bet that was super exciting though when it first came out. And you're thinking.
Episode 4?
What happened in 1 through 3?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, this is the cantina is the infamous hive of scum and villainy. The music, the violence, the drinks. According to the expanded universe, after Han Solo shot the bounty hunter Greedo, only, in the words of Holly Fry, it feels blasphemous to even be talking about Greedo without her.
I know. I'm going to be shocked if we get through this episode without her bursting in like the cold old man.
She always says Han shot only. The bartender took the dead body and infused it into a liqueur.
Yeah, the novels got up to some stuff, y'all.
My God.
So there you go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least his body lived on in other ways.
Greedo! Greedo is eternal. Holly is right.
She is. She knew. And just a side note, my favorite robot chicken sketch is Ponda Baba's Bad Day.
Oh.
Yeah, which is, he's the guy that when Luke comes in and he's sort of sitting by himself at the bar and that guy's like, he doesn't like you. The he in that is Ponda Baba.
And he gets his arm chopped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the film, his blood was made from raspberry yogurt and red tempura paint.
Huh. Okay. It was a thicker consistency.
It was a thicker, yeah.
I remember. And then this one you brought up a lot, Lauren.
Oh, right. Okay, because I'm a nerd for practical effects, as some of y'all may know if you listened to our episode about practical effects. Mm-hmm. The one that I think of now, the first thing I think of when I think of Star Wars food, is the bread that our hero Rey scraps for and scarfs down in the opening of The Force Awakens, aka Episode
7. Yeah.
Gosh, I'm mostly off today, not just a terrible Star Wars fan. I'm a little bit of both. In the scene, she gets this packet of powder, and she mixes it in a bowl with some water. And like magic, it instantly puffs up into this loaf of bread, which is called polystarch, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a practical effect. The effects team spent 3 months developing it so it would look just the way they wanted.
Wow.
And here's how it worked. So Rey takes the dish. It has some water in it already, and she adds the powder in. Underneath the water in the dish, they rigged this inflatable bread so that when the time came, they could inflate it and simultaneously suck the water out of the dish with vacuum pumps so that it appeared that this growing loaf was absorbing the water.
Oh, clever.
Love it.
That is pretty awesome.
Love it so much. And for as like completely bland and terrible as that food seems to be, it's one that fans have really glommed onto. Like, oh, man. Yeah. I want to try some of that.
I'm
like,
yeah.
No, you don't want to try any of that, probably. But
right. And I saw some arguments about that because it's not available at the theme parks. And everyone's like, why not? That'd be super cool. And the consensus seems to be it wouldn't be very good. Like, we could do it.
The point is that it wouldn't be delicious anyway.
Right.
So why would you want, I mean, just.
Just to stare at. Just for the gram, Lauren. For the Insta.
But no, man, I was so nervous about that movie coming out because I was less than excited about the prequels and loved the original series so much. And just, it was so endearing. It was such a beautiful and endearing and human scene.
It was.
Because I have been that hungry. And
with bread specifically.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know when they put the bread at the table at restaurants and you like wait for them just to, they barely turn their back and then.
Yeah.
And the bread is gone. And you say, more bread, please. Anyway.
Also in Force Awakens, at Maz's place, a couple pieces of Earth produce were apparently deemed otherworldly enough to fit in those scenes. There's a horned melon and our old friend, Romanesco cauliflower.
Ah, Romanesco cauliflower does look.
It looks weird. It is fractal. If y'all have never seen it, all cauliflower grows fractally, but Romanesco perhaps particularly so.
Yeah.
And it looks weird. It
would fit in on an alien planet.
It would. You can see our early episode on cauliflower.
Our second episode ever did, because I had to explain to our boss, wait, you want to do cauliflower? Yeah. That's pretty much how the meeting went. All right. You're a weird one.
The heart wants what it wants.
And it wanted cauliflower.
It wanted cauliflower.
And there's Kolo's clawfish in the recent film Solo. Han Solo is offered a dish that looks sort of like a century egg, the Chinese delicacy.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to be delicious. That was the vibe that I got.
Or fancy at the very least.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Certainly fancy, maybe delicious.
Mm. Fair point. Roasted pork.
Oh.
Yeah. Those super cute creatures from The Last Jedi roasted over a fire. I'm assuming they taste like chicken.
Probably tastes like chicken.
Yeah. And I spent an embarrassing amount of time trying to think of what real world animal to compare the pork to. StarWars.com used a toucan.
Toucan?
Yeah.
Huh. They don't look...
They're kind of penguin.
Yeah. Toucan. I mean, they're based on puffins, vaguely, because they were covering up the puffins on the real island that they were filming digitally, because there were just too many dang puffins, and they were like, what are we going to do with all these puffins? We can't kick them out. It's their island.
Right.
They're preserved.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they just digitally colored over them, and it makes me so happy.
They became a huge part of, like, the toys I see everywhere.
I was prepared to be cynical about them, but, man...
Yeah.
It's
pretty cute.
It's because I like puffins so much, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just like, sure.
You can sense the puffins.
Yeah.
In one episode of the animated series Star Wars The Clone Wars, the dignitaries dig into deep fried Nuna legs, and they look like turkey legs, but more fried, more breading.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps. From one episode of another animated series, Star Wars Rebels, two characters pick Meloran fruit. And these things look like big oranges with tiny spikes and are one of the characters' favorite snacks.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. In Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, Anakin tries to impress Padme by floating a pear-like fruit called Ashura towards her with the Force. I'm pretty sure it's an old pear.
It's probably a pear.
It looks like a pear.
Yeah.
And my favorite part is she eats it with a knife and fork.
Huh.
I'd be so impressed if someone floated an old pear my way.
I would also eat it with a knife and fork.
Yes, of course. That's just polite. Also in Attack of the Clones, Obi-Wan Kenobi turns down a droid server's offer of Jawa juice. More properly called RDs, this is a product of fermented grains and benthahide, resulting in a bitter alcoholic beverage. The name is most likely because Jawas have an affinity for it, not because they're one of the ingredients in it.
Probably. But either way, old Ben Kenobi is like, I am too classy for this.
No. He also turns down that other thing, that like fire drug weed.
Oh, right.
Thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. He wasn't there for any of that. Then there's Jabba the Hutt's Patty Frog snacks in The Return of the Jedi, which he eats straight out of the aquarium next to the moving platform thing that he resides on. They scream when he eats them.
They do. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were real frogs in that aquarium on set.
Yes. behind the scenes, one of them, they were from an aquarium. One of the frogs escaped and caused chaos.
Oh, no.
Very brief chaos.
Sure.
But chaos.
But chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck. The one that he ate was not a real frog. No. That was animatronic, I believe.
Yes. And also, according to Star Wars lore, the chef, Jabba's chef, soaks those frogs in brandy.
Oh. Huh.
Give them a nice... So they're not swimming in water there.
They're swimming in brandy.
Yeah.
That... sure. Yeah. Speculative fiction. I love it.
I also really appreciate that Google auto-corrected my misspelling of Hutt.
Oh, it was like, it knew. It was like, oh, that's not how you spell hut when it's a Jabba the Hutt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Google. also at Jabba's Palace, R2-D2 works as a drink server for a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Luke crash lands on Dagobah, the swamp planet, and unknowingly at first meets Jedi Master Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back, one of the first things Yoda does is go through Luke's stuff hunting for snacks.
Jedi Master after my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
I think you two would connect. Yeah. And then Luke chows down on a nutrition bar that Yoda tries and is not impressed with.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, no. He's like, come with me.
To my hut.
We are going to get some real food in you.
Yes, and this real food is root leaf stew.
Okay.
A stew that includes wild mushrooms, seeds, and bark. One place I said it also included wild snakes in the ingredient list, but I think that's just because there were snakes hanging around. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were snakes in there.
Oh, I don't remember specifically in the scene whether one of them goes into the pot or not.
Maybe. Hmm. I know what Luke is like. Get away, snake. In 1983, as part of a 10-part series on The Empire Strikes Back, NPR's Craig Claiborne debuted a recipe for root leaf stew, and it sounds like a well-spiced lamb stew.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
It sounds wonderful.
Sure.
And I never thought about this, but kind of funny.
Also in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, when Darth Vader ambushes Leia, Han, Chewbacca, and C-3PO, it kind of
in Cloud City. Yeah, yes. They're in Cloud City. They're in this fancy dining hall,
yes,
or meeting room, perhaps.
And they open the doors to this dining table, and Darth Vader's there, and they're like, oh, no, we've been betrayed. And it's just like that.
It is, exactly.
I can do that whole movie by memory. I can do sound effects and all. I've done it once.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably never again. But this table is set with drinks and plates. But only 3 of the 7 characters eat human food and aren't wearing masks.
It would be so impolite to not set a place.
Sure.
For the droid. I mean, come on, droid rights. Like
that. You're right.
Come on, droids are people too.
Thank you. I've learned a lesson, a valuable lesson today. Thanks to Bon Appetit, by the way, for pointing that out.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
And then there is a blue puff cube.
What's a blue puff cube?
Exactly. It's a blue cube, and it's kind of puffy. It's a favorite of Wookiees like Chewbacca, especially when toasted. Porgs dig them, too, and they stole some from Chewbacca's stash. This is from a TV show, I believe. When Hondo Ohnaka was captured by other pirates after grabbing a bag of blue puff cubes instead of his blaster by mistake.
Oh,
we've all made that mistake.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He used the cubes to get a porg to press the button. He was throwing them to lure the porg to the button that would release him from his cell.
Oh, so porgs like him too. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're thieves of the blue puff cube. And he named the porg Puffy after the cubes. Mm-hmm. Also a puffin.
Oh, hey, it's all coming back.
It is.
Full circle.
And then there's gray weave, which is a bland gray felt type stuff composed of the single cell organisms from a gray weave generator. And this is food for the poor with enough nutrients for an average human.
Where did this one show up? I don't think I remember seeing
this,
it anywhere.
I think this was in, it's in Coruscant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, after Coruscant, I think it's goes through, the rich have to eat them. That's why everyone's complaining about the Grey Weave, and I think it's in some of the animated series.
Sure,
but
yeah.
It could be a book. There's so much.
There's a lot.
Clanking around.
A whole bunch, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this food has, as we said earlier, made a transition, like Butterbeer,
yes,
to the real world through those Disney parks.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to take one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And yes, as we mentioned at the top, thanks to the recent opening of a Star Wars-themed section of Disneyland and Disney World, there are now some real fictional foods to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And this land is called Galaxy's Edge, and it's meant to be a Black Spire outpost on the planet Batuu.
Important.
Yes, we're going to be using some of these
terms.
Yes.
Yeah, keep them all up there.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a test. There won't be a test.
Maybe there will be.
Ooh.
But probably not.
Okay. Extra credit. And yeah, so Disney owning the Star Wars properties has given fans a lot to be excited about, I would say. But they are really going all out with the food and drink in these new parts of the parks. They they just very cleverly recognize the marketing potential. You know, like Disney parks have really embraced and capitalized on their adult fans' passions for eating experiences over the past like decade or so, decade, 15 years or so. And they saw that the Venn diagram of folks who are excited about eating at their parks and folks who are excited about the Star Wars sections opening is like pretty much a single circle.
Yeah.
And they have leaned into it so hard. I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because when our coworker, Ramsey, who's been on this very show, he shared the menu with us when it first came out. And I remember you and I reading it over the studio, and I thought to myself, this is really designed with adults in mind, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to be some of the first places in some of these parks to offer alcoholic beverages.
Yep.
Which was a big no from coming all the way down from Walt for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and there's so much of it. Like for a relatively small area of a thing, I was just like, how are they going to fit anything that isn't restaurants in there if they have all this stuff? But I have faith in them.
They seem to have figured it out. They found a way. Theme parks find a way, as they say.
Huh.
The menu was designed by Disney's culinary team in Orlando. Each item has a Star Wars backstory, and even the plating and silverware is on theme.
Mm-hmm.
Soft drinks like Coca-Cola come in spherical scuff containers. They're supposed to be thermal detonators, which as of today, they were banned by the TSA.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, no.
Specifically those.
Dude.
Yeah. Yep.
That's wild.
My phone knows what's up and gave me a Google alert this morning when I woke up. Did you know the TSA?
Shipping only. Oh, man, I got a Google alert earlier. I wonder if that's what it was.
It knows.
Okay.
It knows. Salvador Torres, one of the chefs working on this massive undertaking, described the menu items as, quote, comfort food with the twist of Star Wars.
Hmm.
So, yeah, we wanted to go over a few of the food and drink offerings you can find at the parks and also go seek out pictures if you're in any way interested.
Oh, sure.
You can tell some thought went into making these things look like they are not of this world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they have an official cookbook with 70 recipes called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the official Black Spire Outpost cookbook by Chelsea Monroe Castle, if you're super, super interested.
Yeah, it's coming out this November.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there is Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo.
This is one of the eateries.
Yes, I think it's the biggest one,
which
Laura says is a galaxy-traveling mobile restaurant owned by Chef Strono Cookie Tugs. You can find breakfast, lunch, and dinner there, Bright Sun's Morning, smoked kadu ribs, fried Andorian tip-yip, braised shack roast, and Ithorian garden loaves. Most of that, if you think about it for 2 seconds, you can kind of guess what it is. Like smoked kadu ribs is pork ribs.
Sure.
Yeah. Braised shank roast is roast.
Roast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For dessert, Oi Oi Puffs, and the Oi Oi there is raspberry cream. Mustafarian lava rolls. I gotta crack up on that. And the Batuban. As for beverages, you have moon juice, Fatro, Batubucha tea, and black calf, aka coffee.
Ah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Another option people are really excited about is Oga's Cantina. A very much similar vibe to the cantina we talked about earlier from A New Hope.
Yeah.
Lots of troublemakers and trouble going down at the cantina. And yes, this is the first location in Disneyland specifically to serve alcohol. So that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the drink options are the Jedi Mind Trick, the Bespin Fizz, which I read, if you're looking for the Instagram picture, the Bespin Fizz, because it has smoke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Coming out of it. Jet Juice Yub Nub, which is served in a collector's mug priced at $42.
Gosh. Okay.
The Outer Rim, Fuzzy Tauntaun, the Dagobah Slug Slinger, and the T-18 Skyhopper. And for breakfast options, they have some breakfast options. There's a spiked coffee, the spear and calf, and a Bloody Mary option, the Bloody Rancor.
Oh, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All of the beers and wines have Star Wars names as well, like White Wampa Ale, Gold Squadron Lager, Spice Runner Cider, Bad Motivator IPA, that's my favorite, and Gamorrean Ale. For wine, you have the Imperial Guard and Tanqueray. They also have non-alcoholic options.
Yay!
Jabba's Juice, Blue Bantha, Oga's Obsession, Carbon Freeze, also recommended, I think, for the Instagram. Hyperdrive and Quiff Cliff Dweller. That's fun to say.
Cliff Dweller.
Also, just want to note, this is probably don't need to be noted, but we are no way sponsored by Disney.
0%. We are just entertained yes. as all heck by all of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if they want to sponsor us.
I mean, yeah, hey.
Here we are.
Uh-huh.
Another restaurant, our food option, is Ronto Roasters. And the cool thing about this, in my opinion, the food is roasted around a rotating engine of a pod racer.
What?
Yeah. Which is the pod racer racing vehicles from episode one, The Phantom Menace.
That sounds like the best kebab.
Yes. So it is a lot of, I've heard the food there is pretty good, and it's like a lot of roasted meats and kebabs, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Drink options there as well. And then, of course, the milk stand.
Because you are not the only person who is obsessed with these blue and green milks from Star Wars.
Don't out my obsession. And yes, I call this the butterbeer of Star Wars because while it is blue, there is no milk involved in this.
Nope.
Just like there's no butter or beer in butterbeer.
Butter
you can have blue milk or green milk. The consensus seems to be stick to the blue milk, which is a bit fruity. It's a semi-frozen, dairy-free drink. So it's not cow's milk, I guess. It
sure.
could be rice or coconut milk. It's a mixture of both of those. Pineapple, passion fruit, and watermelon. The green option is lime and pineapple.
Ah.
Yeah. And then an exciting one for me is Katasaka's Kettle. And this is a brightly colored mixture of popcorn.
Oh, right.
That is reportedly salty and sweet and a little bit fruity. I've read mixed reviews about it, but I think since I'm a popcorn lover, I'll be in.
Yeah.
If you like popcorn, you're probably into it.
You'd still be excited no matter what the flavor.
Yes.
You're like, it's still made of popcorn.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And also, a Star Wars-themed hotel is supposedly in the works, meant to simulate being on a luxury starship with no windows, like video screens for windows showing you the galaxy scape.
We have entered into the future.
We really have. It's incredible, and I'm going to be tipsy there.
I wonder if there's going to be like a cruise ship-type dining room.
Ooh.
We'll have to do an update.
I mean, also, like, are you part of the Empire at that point? Because, I mean, those are really mostly the only people who can afford, like, a luxury.
Yeah. Well, I read a long time ago, so this has probably changed a lot, but I read that the whole thing was going to kind of, it reminded me of those murder mystery games.
Oh.
Like, you were going to, when you checked in, you were going to get, like, an identity.
I want to do it so hard.
And you could be a rebel or you could be in the Imperial forces. It could be all kinds of things.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Knowing my luck, I'd be, like, the sad Imperial guard who has no friends and no respect. That would be such an interesting choice for Disney to make, to have that character exist.
Yeah.
And now I kind of want it. That's the full circle of the theme park.
Well, okay. We'll have to write them a letter. Let them know.
Yes. Go. I definitely have some sway with Disney. Okay. Outside of theme parks, plenty of people have recreated Star Wars foods in this our real world.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my personal faves are the Sarlacc Bundt Cake, which is this sandy-looking bundt cake with the Sarlacc monster coming out of the center.
Oh, yeah. Anything Sarlacc involved is my favorite. I ran across a recipe for a meat pie that has the, like, pastry
nice.
Tentacles coming up out of it. And I was just like, this is the best.
Yes. And so if you're unfamiliar, this is from Return of the Jedi, and it's that creature that comes out of the pit. Boba Fett.
It's like a big sand monster with a big circular jaws.
Yeah. Kind of sandworm-esque from
Sandwormy. Yeah. Straight sandwormy.
Straight. Jabba the hummus. I just like the pun. Han Solo carbonite jello. A friend of mine made this last Star Wars Day, and it's essentially blue jello with a Han Solo figurine suspended inside it. Super easy, but very fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a whole world of official and unofficial cookbooks out there for fans. Some of the official ones are the series that were, I think, written by a couple different people, but photographed by the same human whose name I don't have right in front of me. But all these really cute little scenes put together with the food item and then some of the little Star Wars action figures, like, interacting with it as though it is scenery. And it's so cute.
That sounds adorable.
But anyway, yeah, from 1998, the Star Wars cookbook, Wookiee Cookies and Other Galactic Recipes. A sequel came out 2 years later, Darth Malt and More Galactic Recipes. Just last year, BB-8, like A-T-E, Awaken to the Force of Breakfast and Brunch. A couple have come out recently with, like, thematic cookie cutters and little gift sets.
I do have Star Wars themed ice cube trays.
Oh, yeah.
And back before anyone was following me on Instagram, I have a boomerang of me making a whiskey sour, and I had a Millennium Falcon shaped ice cube, and I dropped it into the drink, and it looks really cool.
Aw, yay.
To me, it looks really cool. I don't know if it is, but I do have a lot of those ice cube trays. We've been meaning to do that at our D&D sessions.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all, it turns out everybody in our campaign has a set of geeky
weird
ice cube trays. So we're just going to have an ice cube party.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can invite Ice Cube.
These books, though, are aimed towards kids and have really good advice for a young cook, like respect the mysteries of the Force. Never run in the kitchen.
That is good advice.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just all kinds of stuff in there. Wampa snow cones, Death Star popcorn balls, the puns, Hoth chocolate, Han burgers, Baba fettuccine, pickle jar. Admiral Ackbar's breakfast bars, raisin bread.
Oh my gosh!
Po' boys, Dameron, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
And I'm just part of my favorite thing about this whole geek renaissance that we are living in is that it is so nice to just be able to be delighted by something again. For a while, there wasn't that much geek culture to really just wholeheartedly be like, yes, I want a Hoth chocolate. Like, you know, there were fewer opportunities to share that experience with people. And now it's kind of everywhere. And that's wonderful.
It is. All of our food puns and nerdery coming together.
Mm-hmm.
We're right here in the thick of it. We're doing what we can.
We are. Oh, but yeah, that's about what we have to say about Star Wars food, and it brings us to
listener mail. Listener mail. Pew 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 pew. Ah!
That was beautiful.
Everyone unsubscribed. Look, I have a career waiting for me in bad Star Wars sound effect recreations.
Yeah. Again, just get in touch. Disney. We're right here.
I don't know what's taking you so long to discover this, but we're waiting.
We are.
In the meantime, Kirsty wrote, I was recently introduced to the show by a friend and I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I have been going through back episodes and recently listened to the one on Chuck E. Cheese and learned that Chuck was originally supposed to be a coyote. I thought this was hilarious because growing up in the 1990s in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, we did not have a Chuck E. Cheese, but we did have a local version called Gigglebees, whose mascot was actually an animatronic coyote named Wilbur.
What?
Sadly, Gigglebees closed after an actual Chuck E. Cheese came to town.
Oh, no.
But Wilbur is still a major cultural touchpoint for kids who grew up here in the 80s and 90s. He still comes out for local events and recently got a makeover.
Oh.
And you can find pictures online, and I recommend it.
Wilbur, I am glad that you are doing just okay.
Wilbur from Gigglebees.
Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth wrote, I am so happy you guys did a kimchi episode. I have been hoping you would do one for a while. I just wanted to share with you my weird kimchi experience. I'm half Korean on my mother's side. For various reasons, at the age of 3 or 4, I went to live with my paternal grandparents, who are very much American, so I didn't get to eat much Korean food growing up. Flash forward to high school. After my junior year, I got to visit Korea for the first time. On my bucket list for the trip was try kimchi. We went to a traditional restaurant that served kimchi as a side dish. As soon as I took the first bite, it was like some latent part of my brain woke up and said, hey, I've had this before. This is good stuff. I've had deja vu before, but this is by far the weirdest thing that has ever happened to my taste buds and brain. I wonder if there are any other stories or scientific studies about forgotten memories being recalled due to food. Anyway, I now live in a bigger city that has multiple Korean grocery stores, so I try to buy kimchi semi-regularly. However, my husband hates the smell. I need to get one of those kimchi refrigerators you mentioned just so I can get it more often.
Hey, that's a solid investment.
That is. Oh, right?
I got kimchi right after that episode, and I ate the entire thing that night. I don't regret it at all.
Wow. Oof.
That was like my dinner. Just
that's a lot of kimchi, dude. But I, but you know, hey, if you were happy, I'm happy for you.
I was quite happy.
Yeah.
And we are also quite happy that the two of you lovely listeners emailed us.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And you can email us too. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and the other one, Instagram. Uh-huh. All of which we are SaverPod. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard, who put up with us.
He put up that Star Trek. Get out of here. He put up the live long and prosper sign.
Oh.
We already did that episode.
Thanks to you for listening. And we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.